From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Before we introduce this episode's Naps Chat guest, let me update you on some news from this month's Postal Board of Governors meeting. The postal financial picture remains grim, with the Postal Service posting a loss of $3.2 billion year to date, and mail volume continues to tank, with a total volume decline by 6.7% as compared to the same period as last year. Most notably, shipping and packages declined by 7.3%. However, on-time performance improved slightly, but still trails delivery speed as compared to the pre-Delivering for America implementation. Most notably, Postmaster General Steiner clarified his March comments before the House Government Operations Subcommittee, where he raised the potential request of a public service appropriation. At the Board of Governors meeting, the Postmaster General indicated that the Postal Service will be developing a legislative package that will likely include a request for a appropriation. Naps Chat listeners will recall that Naps has been raising the issue of this appropriation for quite some time. We look forward to collaborating with the Postal Service and postal stakeholders in crafting a legislative package that includes such an appropriation. One of the central forms for developing such a legislative package is the almost year-old Congressional Postal Caucus. So I am delighted to welcome Congressman Jack Bergman of Michigan, who co-chairs the caucus along with Representative Nikki Baczynski of Illinois. Representative Bergman is a distinguished retired Marine Corps Lieutenant General and a successful small business owner. In addition to co-chairing the Postal Caucus, Representative Bergman serves with distinction on the House Armed Services Committee, where he chairs the Subcommittee on Readiness. The Congressman also serves on the Veteran Affairs Committee and the House Budget Committee. Welcome to Naps Chat, General Bergman.
Hey, thanks, Bob. Great to be with you and your listeners.
A short time ago, Naps Chat hosted one of our legislative activists, a retired Marine Staff Sergeant. I asked him how the Marine Corps prepared him for being a postal supervisor. So let me ask you, what skill set developed as a three-star general prepared you for Congress?
Well, as a three-star general, nah, not at all. But as a lieutenant and captain of Marines, you know, absolutely. Because, number one, as a Marine, when you think about, it's not about you, it's about those people under your command. And in any organization, there has to be a hierarchy and an organization of command that allows everybody throughout that whole chain to know what their mission is, to know when to act, when not to act, what the parameters are. That's what the Marine Corps teaches at all levels, both officer and enlisted. All those of us who stay around for a long time, whether we're senior enlisted, sergeants, major, or generals, we look down and we can see how well we did in bringing our young junior officers and junior enlisted along to take their turn. Because if we move on, we don't stay in a billet all that long because we have good young men and women who we've prepared to, you know, take over that role. So we hold people accountable. We give them the training. We give them the opportunity to excel, and also, if they're confused, concerned, or whatever, a pathway to say, help me out. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Help for help. Ask for help early, not when it's too late.
Do you find the enlisted personnel amongst your colleagues in Congress following your lead?
Well, Congress is a whole different animal. There is no rank in Congress. You know, you have 435 elected members, so we're all equal, which is interesting when you give the equality of position, but you don't have an equality of experience. There lies the problem.
Congressman, this podcast will be aired over the Memorial Day weekend. During this period, we honor the memories of those who made the ultimate sacrifice on behalf of our nation and pay tribute to all those who served in our military. Through many discussions I've had with veterans, including my late father who served aboard a Navy combat ship during World War II, mail call was a highlight. Can you talk about the importance of mail to those serving far from home?
Oh, I tell you what, you're bringing back memories. My dad was in the Navy in the South Pacific in World War II. My mother kept every letter that he sent her for a couple of years. I still have those stacks of letters. And when those letters came either way, it was a big deal for the receiver. And those of us in the combat zone, we really looked forward to mail call. And one of the jobs that I had as a helicopter pilot was delivering the mail and the donuts. Okay? We used to call them in Vietnam the donut dollies. We literally, and we occasionally delivered a pallet of beer to some remote fire bases. But what I would tell and still do tell young men and women who are entering the military and going somewhere far away, don't rely on your phones, your computers. And this is not about that they can't do it, but when you get that letter from home, you're going to put that in your pocket and you're going to be able to pull it out anytime, anywhere, and just kind of collect your thoughts. And that's the beauty of the mail delivery that keeps the morale on both sides of the equation, those at home and those in the fight, as high as it needs to be. So, oh, did we look forward to mail call.
It's a tangible part of home that travels thousands of miles to you.
Yeah, but to end that thought, my advice to people writing letters, number them. Because if you get letter number 4 before letter number 3 arrives, and all number 4 says, oh, by the way, the cost to fix the car is $1,000, but number 3 said, what the hell happened to the car? So number your letters.
Let's move to another important aspect of the mail, and that's to your constituents. You represent a rural Michigan district which encompasses the Upper Peninsula of the state. Could you talk about the importance of mail service to your constituents?
It's a lifeline. It is a lifeline in so many ways because we are not only rural, we're remote. So when you know, the post delivery comes, there are areas where the only way to get the mail out there's a row of mailboxes. You're not going to every house because they're so far off. So the people at pick your time, depending on when the mail normally arrives, they're riding their 4x4 out to the mailbox, but they're counting on everything from checks so they can pay their bills. They're counting on instructions for appointments that they have. They're getting their meds, depending on, you know, how they're shipped. It is a lifeline for my constituents in a very large portion of our district.
And part of that lifeline is the quality of mail service they receive. Now, in the fiscal year 2026 appropriations bill, it included language you helped draft that, among other things, called for the Postal Service to reevaluate key elements of the so-called Delivering for America plan, particularly those that slowed mail delivery to and from rural communities. Also, you crafted a provision that sought the pause in further facility consolidations that serve these communities. Could you talk a little bit about what motivated you?
Well, number one, consistency of delivery. Number two, the cost of that consistency and how do we do it in a 21st century world to maintain accountability on both ends for the delivery. But the Delivering for America plan, it has good intentions. Modernize the postal network, but some of the implementation thus far has pretty much had unacceptable consequences for the rural communities. Consolidating mail processing facilities like the one in Kingsford in the UP and decreasing the number of times mail is picked up from local offices, extended delivery windows, mail that once arrived in 1 or 2 days could take 3 to 5. The language that Rep. Budzinski and I crafted called for a pause and a thorough reevaluation of the DFA elements that hurt rural on-time delivery. My constituents told me loud and clear, and we had that big event up at Timberstone in Iron Mountain. That was a couple of years ago where everybody showed up. The Postal Service brought their folks there, and it was loud and clear that the plan of the Postal Service at that point was a non-starter. It didn't make sense.
I know one of our national vice presidents, a fellow named Kevin Traer from Kalamazoo, Michigan, traveled up to that Iron City meeting, and you're just his hero because of what you're doing to improve the Postal Service and to protect postal operations.
Well, when you think about it, my cousin is, when he got back from Vietnam, he was in the Navy, and he immediately went to work for the Postal Service in Minnesota. He was a postmaster. He did everything. And I mean, I listened to him and talk about, and this is through the 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, early 2000s. He had ideas about how the Postal Service could just, you know, tweak things a little bit, do it a little bit better, because he was focused on that rural element of mail delivery.
Interesting. You mentioned the relative working the Postal Service. The Postal Service is probably one of the largest employers of veterans, which is intriguing because your position on the Veterans Affairs Committee is implicated by that fact. Let's turn our attention a bit to the Congressional Postal Caucus and its bipartisan composition. Is a postal caucus necessary? And if so, why?
Well, number one, we need more bipartisan efforts here in D.C. Life today here tends to be more separating our members, Democrats, Republicans, as opposed to bringing them together. And having a postal caucus is a way for us to bring Democrats and Republicans together. We call it a Noah's Ark caucus, where a Democrat and Republican have to walk, you know, onto the ark together, onto the caucus together. But we try to keep it evenly split between Democrats and Republicans, because these are issues that don't or shouldn't have any kind of political edge to them. So that's why when Nikki and I decided to do this, and she's a great partner, we represent two personalities that don't get too excited about things that are really not important, that some of our colleagues do. So we're trying to keep just a steady leadership here and focus people on making life better for the people receiving mail and enabling the working conditions for those delivering, sorting, pick your element of the Postal Service system, make the Postal Service it's a place where people want to go to work.
At last count, I believe there were 32 members in the caucus, as you said. For every Democrat, there's a Republican. And also there are members representing rural areas, urban areas, suburban areas. So it's a diverse group of members. What drew them together? What's the mortar that holds them together?
I think the reality, again, the issue of the postal system is not an incendiary topic. There's some topics, you could pick national defense, you could pick financial services, education, that can bring out the crazies on both sides. The Postal Service tends to dampen the goofiness that we, Nikki and I, have to endure on a daily basis.
Do you want this caucus to grow? How do you intend to recruit members to it?
So what you do is, first of all, you need a core group, which at 32, that's a pretty good number for a core group. What we do is put together some good policy, some good language that will benefit at least 80% of the members, because there's no one size fits all. And then draw them in bit by bit to say, hey, most people want to get reelected. To say, hey, look, you get involved with this postal caucus, your constituents are going to love you more because they're going to get their mail, they're going to get their checks, they're going to get their meds, they're going to do this, and they're going to feel good about the continuity of the process. So we'll do a little marketing, if you will, to some of our colleagues who may not get too excited because maybe they live in an area where it's not an issue. But we can still need their vote and their support when we get into some dicey things.
As you recruit members, you have a mission statement. I would assume the caucus has a mission statement. What would be your mission?
The mission, now this is focused on recruiting other members. The mission would be make the Postal Service the quality that whenever you go back to your district, all people say is, I love the Postal Service. That's it. You don't, because we go back to the district and, boy, somebody's got a bitch about this or that or the other thing, and that's what you hear most of the time. So wouldn't it be great if the Postal Caucus was viewed as one of those touch points that Republicans and Democrats got behind to make the, again, the standardization, allowing for the variances in rural or remote, whatever it happens to be, and then the continuous process improvement, tweak it a little bit at a time to make it better when things change. Let's face it, we know that we're going to have some type of AI role here in the future in all things we do. How do we, through the Postal Service, introduce the right level of AI to ensure that we get it right? Because the answer is not to discount it. The answer is to enable it where appropriate to better the outcome.
The Postmaster General recently raised an alarm, notably whether or not the Postal Service will continue to be able to fulfill its universal service obligation, more specifically perform its public service obligation. How would you define the public service that you would expect the Postal Service to perform on a regular basis?
Again, based upon my district, is that if we, the federal government, and therefore the Postal Service, has guaranteed over time certain levels of delivery, levels of service, to meet realistic expectations, because in some ways, what's the volume of mail in Christmas cards today compared to what it was 20 years ago? We get so many e-Christmas cards, you know, whatever. There's the changing marketplace. There has to be stability that will enable the Postal Service to meet the needs of the people in the area.
What role do you think the caucus will play on protecting the public service mission of the Postal Service?
I think a good caucus, what it does, it meets on a routine basis, and it has guest speakers come in, talk about the different issues, in this case of the Postal Service. And then out of that comes good policy and good law, where good policy at best is 80%, because if you wait for the perfect policy, you never get there. So good policy, you get it rolling, and then after a period of time, you say, okay, well, maybe what we did, we shouldn't have included, or we didn't include something we should have, so we leave ourselves on ramps and off ramps to not have to reinvent the wheel every time we change a bit of the policy.
One of the functions that the caucus has undertaken are these roundtables that you mentioned, where you invite stakeholders and speakers to come in to help the Postal Caucus, I guess, become more educated in certain aspects of postal operations. Could you share with me how such roundtables inform caucus decision making?
I learned my first term here, especially when it involved Veterans Affairs Committee activities, that you'd have the Veterans Administration on one side of the table, you'd have the Veterans Service Organizations on the other side of the table, and it would just be this back and forth, and you had members of the committee making statements in performance art because it was in a committee room and it was on camera. Roundtables, no cameras, no microphones. It's an honest discussion where most of the time what the members will do now, because we've, in my 10 years here, we have pushed more roundtable discussions so that we can get members sitting back and listening to what is the issue. And then maybe asking questions, not so much making a comment. But anytime you put a committee hearing on and a mic in front of someone and a camera on, you're going to have performance art. We don't need performance art.
So generally you're getting more candid discussions, yeah, on both sides.
On both sides, yeah.
Then let me ask you this question. Has the Postal Service sought to become engaged with the caucus?
we're building that relationship. And that's the important part of this, because everybody is always skeptical of a new idea in Washington, D.C. So we will show that the Postal Service, with their engagement with the caucus, we want to be a partner. Our role legislatively, that's our role. And whether it's the Postal Service or pick your department of whatever that gets appropriated funds and has performance metrics to meet, it's the best way to get good things done is to invite the stakeholders to the table, and that invitation is always open.
Do you feel that one of the stakeholders, let me rephrase that, does the caucus engage with the authorizing committee so we'll actually sort of sit down and legislate on the Postal Service?
The way it works around here, no matter what committee you're on, you know who's on the authorizing committee. So it'll happen naturally where there will be a sharing of information so that the appropriators can do their job and do it right.
Like, I do know that there are some members of the House Oversight and Reform Committee who are actually on the caucus, and I'm curious if they bring back to the committee what they've learned, because as you said, you get a much more candid conversation potentially in the caucus than you would in a formal oversight hearing or legislative hearing before the committee.
It depends on the member, and it depends on the subject. And I think good engagement with the caucuses at any level is to make sure whatever, in this case, if it's the Postal Service Caucus, our engagement with whether it's the authorizers, the appropriators, has to be one ongoing where there's flow of information, questions answered back and forth.
Do you think the caucus will have a large role in the crafting of a postal bill at some point?
Yes.
Last question. What is your favorite postage stamp ever?
If I remember right, there was one at Daffy Duck. Did I get that right?
There was that. They did have a Warner Brothers series. They had Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck.
Yeah. I mean, that was where, in my, 60s, those were big characters in my life. So I'm a Daffy Duck kind of guy because he was a little Daffy.
I want to thank Congressman Bergman for joining this week on Naps Chat. Thank you, Congressman.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And I want to thank Naps Chat listeners for logging on this week. If you enjoy Naps Chat, please leave us a positive review on the podcast store of your choice. And more importantly, share Naps Chat with your friends and colleagues. In the meantime, stay safe and stay healthy.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe.